Hello, everyone.
Hi, listeners.
Welcome back to the podcast. What episode are we at now?
108, I think. I think it's 108.
Oh, it's going to be awkward if that's not right.
Future Sam can come in and apologize if that's wrong.
That's what the iTunes title is for.
Yes.
Or the Spotify title.
Yeah, don't come to us for that information. Come to Future Sam, who's typing in the title.
Future Sam is the one who keeps us honest.
Okay? Amen.
We don't know what we're talking about right now. We're just, like, blasted on ayahuasca right now. We're just bringing you vibes, and then Future Sam brings you facts.
That's all we can do here on I'm Horrified.
I'm Horrified podcast. We're so glad to have you back.
I'm Sam.
I'm Allie.
And this week, listeners, we're in for a treat, because it's an Allie episode.
Oh, that's so nice. I think you're the treat.
I think you're the treat.
I think you're the treat.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to do a disclaimer for our listeners, but it's like a fun disclaimer. We are recording in Allie's house this time, which is very fun, but she does have a cute little doggy. So
yeah.
If you occasionally hear a sweet puff of breath or the jingle of a little collar,
it's my husband,
Chris. It is Allie's husband, Chris. She keeps him on a tight leash, as she should.
Horrifying. yeah, my little puppy over there, his name is Oscar. I will put a picture of him on Twitter.
Definitely do.
It's not Twitter anymore, is it?
It does.
I don't even want to.
For us, it is.
I'm not even getting into that. I still call Hollywood Studios MGM.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm not going to call. I feel like an old, like, Republican lady who's like, I'm not going to call, like, burr, 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 burr. But I feel that way about Twitter.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But we'll post a pic. But just if you hear the gentle sounds of a puppy in the background, that's what that is.
We can only do so much with our software.
Exactly. Exactly true.
I think that adds to it.
I think so. It's like a soundscape.
It is a soundscape. should I lead? Like, should I drop a little tidbit for our Ooh. Future episode that I'm going to be talking about ASMR soon?
Oh.
I'm going to be talking about ASMR soon. Oh. Did the mic pick that up? Wait, I'm going to get really close.
Get really close to the mic.
I'm going to be talking about ASMR soon.
Oh my God.
So that's a little sneaky peek.
That's a teaser.
But I do think that an amazing ASMR would be just a little dog next to a microphone that's just like, you know what I mean? Like when a little doggy puts his head down and has a little sigh.
That's so cute.
So cute. But I do. My husband and I will sometimes just like look at our dog for like 40 minutes at a time and talk about him and like describe him. Like, we're not talking to each other.
No.
We're not having a conversation together. It's just one of us will be like, who has little baby paws? And then the other one will be like, he has little baby paws. So, like, we're kind of talking to each other, kind of in, like, a fugue dissociative state. And just sort of using little different accents to represent our dog.
And that's marriage, folks.
And that's marriage. If that's not, like, that's why you need a pet. Like, I honestly don't know what we did beforehand. Like, what did we talk about? Each other? The
Boring.
News? Who
Awful.
Gives a shit? Look at him, Sam.
He's very cute.
He's such a cute boy. You're a good boy. Okay, I gotta get back. We gotta get back to the episode. Today, I'm going to talk about planned obsolescence.
Ooh.
And I'm realizing it sounds very similar to our last episode, Effective Altruism, Planned Obsolescence. They just sound like science words.
Yes.
They sound like the kind of words that are being said at a fancy conference, and I'm just there like, mm-hmm. I used to do that when I worked like a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. I would go to like networking conferences and stuff, and people would just all day long talk at me about things I did not understand. And I'd be like, yeah, well, the thing about that is it's so complicated.
Amen. Like,
just trying to live through being the personality hire. Do you know what I'm saying? That's both of our burdens to bear.
We've been there.
But I'm going to be talking about planned obsolescence. And this topic was actually suggested by a listener who wrote into us named Rin. Thank you for writing to us, Rin. They reached out on imhorrifiedpodcast@gmail.com. And so if you have any ideas about what we should cover in the future, write in and tell us what to talk about. It's super helpful because my whole life, I'm just like, oh my God, that would be a great topic. I should talk about that. And I try to put it on my little Google Doc. And then when it comes time to start studying and researching for a new episode, I'm like, what do I do? Everything seems fine all of a sudden.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong.
I always do, I'll write something down, like, in my little notes app, and then I'll go back to look into it, and I'm like, actually, this is fine.
Like, this, yeah, that doesn't sound like a big deal.
Yeah. There's, like, a TikTok couple that has, like, a complicated world of, like, Mario mythology that they cosplay as, and they're, like, creating this crazy world.
And you're like, you know what? We're all just doing our goddamn best.
Yeah, they like, got engaged, and all of a sudden, like, my heart grew three sizes. I was like, they're just in love. They're
just... And you are gonna judge them for an episode.
Exactly. So,
come on.
We need those suggestions, folks.
Okay, yeah, but this does suck. So thank you, Rin, for talking about this, for telling me about this. Honestly, when I read that, I was just like, well, I don't know what that is. So that probably means it is a good topic. Planned obsolescence. I'm going to rip straight from Wikipedia. A great start.
Oh, always.
Because I needed a straight-up definition. Like, I did not even know where to begin. So this is what I first... Red. Planned obsolescence is a policy of planning or designing a product with an artificially limited useful life or a purposely frail design so that it becomes obsolete after a certain predetermined period of time upon which it decrementally functions or suddenly ceases to function or might be perceived as unfashionable. The rationale behind this strategy is to generate long-term sales volume by reducing the time between repeat purchases, referred to as shortening the replacement cycle, and it is the deliberate shortening of a lifespan of a product to force people to purchase functional replacements.
You know what I'm thinking about when I hear that?
What are you thinking about?
Apple.
We're going to talk about Apple a little bit.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I am an Android girly.
Half of this is about Apple.
Yeah.
The reason anyone kind of knows about this, I think, is about Apple. And that is horrifying, certainly. But I actually enjoyed more how it made me think about other things.
Ooh.
But I do. Yeah. Exactly. That's the perfect example. The iPhone. And do you remember iPods?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I got roasted to filth the other day by a little girl who I nanny. She had like a little iPod thing. She's like, my daddy found this like at the dump or something. And I was like, okay. And I was like, it was like an iPod Nano or something. And I was like, I had in my day, I had an iPod Mini. And she's like, what is that? And so I like pulled up a picture of the iPod Mini on my phone. And I showed it to her and she was like, oh yeah, my grandmother has that.
Oof.
And I was just like, fuck off. Come on. Like, it was so, and she was so, like, innocently, like, oh, yeah, my grandmother has that. Like, she uses it for her walks. And I'm just like, God damn it. Like, I just feel so old.
Killer.
I'm 29, and I'm withered. I'm so a withered true. Crone.
But is it you, or is it planned obsolescence?
Or is it planned? I think it might just be me.
It might. Well, let's find out.
But yeah, so, but like when I read that, I was like, oh, yup. Like, I know what that is. Immediately, I'm like, well, yeah. But the other thing that kind of alarmed me was like, yes, I know what it is. And yes, I'm aware of it. But like, I'm not conscious of it. Like when I'm, let's just keep going and we'll talk about it. So yeah, not only did I recognize this, but I was also like, oh, this is going to ruin civilization, isn't it? Like, this is at the root of all evil.
Yeah.
This is the biggest expression of capitalism. I think the thing that's scary is that, like, it's woven into our lives so seamlessly that we don't recognize it, you know? Like, I do expect my phone to stop working after a few years. And I also expect, like, my clothes from Old Navy not to last me more than a year and a half. Mm. And there are very few things where I'm like, okay, like, this will see me through to my elder years. Like, I think that just people our age don't even know that there was a time where you would invest in something and that meant, like, I'm just gonna buy one of these.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna, like, if I can think of anything, like, I'm gonna buy one vacuum and that's my vacuum forever.
Yeah.
Like, this is my backpack, my one backpack forever. This is my, you know, spoon. This is my spoon, and this is the spoon I'm going to use. Like, and I just feel like I'm always replacing everything.
Yeah, it's the spoon my mother used before me.
And my daughter shall use after me.
Yes.
At my funeral, when they're having my funeral dinner, she will sip soup from the spoon.
Yes.
But it's not like that anymore.
No.
You have to buy funeral spoons every other week, it seems
every
like.
Every funeral.
For every funeral. But yeah, like, I can't think of, like, anything that lasts a lifetime anymore.
Love.
Well. I don't know what to say. I think that's like, we have to go back to our diamonds episode. It's like, diamonds are forever, and it's like, love doesn't seem to be. That's not what we're talking about today.
I'm sorry. Nothing lasts forever, Allie. Let's launch back into it.
Nothing lasts forever.
Need a break from the horrifying reality of real life? Well, do we have a sexy deal for you.
Go to adamandeve.com and use our special code HORROR for 50% off almost any item and free shipping. That's HORROR at checkout for 50% off and free shipping. Order now and get ready to... Okay, so I think the main thing people discuss when they discuss this topic, often, as you said, technology. Phones... And, like, phone accoutrement, headphones, computers, things like that. But the more you're like, oh, yeah, everything I own is, like, shoestring together, and I'm constantly replacing things that have broken apart. And I think that, like, we all know that this exists, but something I didn't know, and this is the planned part of planned obsolescence, I just, like, I didn't know how purposeful it was. Like, I knew it was happening, I knew it was shady, but, like, I guess I didn't think of someone, like, at a corporate office being like, let's fuck these people over.
Yeah.
I have too much trust in people, Sam. Like, I just, something in me just trusts brands, which I know is the brand's goal.
Yes.
And I don't want to give the brand what it wants.
Mm.
But don't I, though?
Yes.
I really do at the end of the day. But I'm just like, oh, they can't help it. They're just brands. Yeah. But
brands are just people.
But like, yeah, something in me was like, oh, well, they're just making advances and releasing new things when they have new technology. And I just like, that puts way too much trust, like ethical trust in a for-profit company. And one good example of this is Apple, Sam, BatteryGate. Are you familiar with BatteryGate?
I don't know that I know BatteryGate as a battery gate. I know that I switched to Androids because my iPhone batteries kept dying.
Yeah, so I'm going to read for Business Insider. In a class action lawsuit, customers had accused the company, Apple, of misleading them by using software updates to cap the performance of iPhone 6, iPhone 7, and iPhone SE models without notifying them, causing them to assume their phones... rather than just their batteries, needed to be replaced. Apple denied any wrongdoing in the settlement, saying the updates were intended to prevent the devices from trying to draw too much power from aging batteries. They're like, they were doing it for you.
Liar.
This is for your battery.
Liars.
And they were like, well, potentially that could cause the devices to crash. And we're all like, bullshit. Apple customers had long suspected the company was deliberately slowing down old iPhones, a practice known as throttling. Which, like, yeah, fair enough. In 2017, after Reddit users pointed out that replacing the batteries seemed to boost performance, they're like, oh, you're saying that this is going to help the batteries work better? Weird how a new battery fixes the problem. And then Apple admitted that that was, in fact, what was happening. And we're basically like, yeah, fair enough, you got us. Like, they were purposely making the batteries slower so that you, like, had to get a new phone.
So sneaky.
And then people found out, they're like, well, you could just replace the battery. And they were like, oh, I guess that works. Which is like bullshit, right? Really, like, that sucks.
And plus, like, half the time when you replace a battery, like, if you do it from a third party, then, like, your phone's not covered by Apple stuff anymore. If you try to do it through the Apple store, they'll be like, oh, well, this phone is now blah, blah, blah. Like, that happened to me with my, I don't know if you remember this, Allie, but I had, all through college, I had, an Apple laptop.
Yep.
And then at the end of college, so I'd had it for probably, like, 4.5 years, the mouse would just move across the screen on its own. Do you remember this?
Yes! I remember because we would watch TV on your computer, and we'd be watching, like, I don't know, what were we watching back then? Sherlock or whatever.
Yeah, Downton Abbey.
And then all of a sudden, there would be, like, a mouse dragging over Benedict Cumberbatch's face. And we'd be like, Sam, fix your shit. And you'd be like, sorry, computey, stop. Like, please stop.
And so I brought it into the Apple store. And it, again, was, like, 4.5 years old. And they were like, oh, well, the problem is the mouse pad. But this model is no longer serviced by Apple. So you would have to go to, like, a third party to get a new mouse pad. We don't make these mouse pads ever anymore. And I'm like,
Wouldn't the third part? What do you mean third party? You made it.
And I was like, it's not that old. I mean, it's just the one woman's college time is all this laptop existed. And they were like, you'll have to go to like a third party. And I was like,
you're going to have to go to a seller of vintage tubas and old car parts to find this old timey thing that your garbage machine requires because it was bought. What, 4 years ago?
4 years ago.
Ridiculous.
And I was like, very well, I will be buying an HP laptop, and I still have that HP laptop.
I'm looking at it. Yep. I'm looking at it right now. So yeah, this was a hot button. This was around 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw recent articles about this because finally the people who were affected by this were by the class action lawsuit were getting their payouts, and it was like $65. But yeah, so that, at the time, definitely brought planned obsolescence into the mainstream for a lot of people, at least in reference to tech, which it still, I think, is used in reference to most of the time. And this is how I understood it for the most part. But now I'm actually going to move backwards.
Ooh.
Samantha, would you believe that what I'm describing right now, the tactics that Apple is using, began in the 1920s?
What?
Yes, when phones were giant garbage machines that barely worked, that took up a whole room.
Oh my!
That took 20 hours to start up, and you just say hello, and then that's all. You would just say hello
over and
hello,
over. Yeah,
and then you hang up,
and then that was it.
I think that's all you could get out. The tactic was first implemented by General Motors because they were trying to compete with Ford Motor Company.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Ford was the rival of Mr. General Motors. No, it was Alfred P. Sloan, who was in charge of General Motors.
Oh.
And he was like, we gotta rev things up a notch. And so they began to start upgrading their models rather than just being like, ours is the best. It was like, ours is the newest.
Ooh.
This is newer. This is a newer model. And you have to follow the current trend. So like, I think in the 20s also, like, there were more like, oh, you have to have the trendy house, the trendy outfit, the trendy car.
Ooh.
And then another example, in 1925, the biggest light bulb company in the world, the biggest light bulb companies gathered for a meeting in Geneva to form the Phoebus Cartel, which sounds crazy.
That sounds insane.
Sounds crazy.
That sounds like the bad guy in like a murder mystery TV show that I would watch. Like,
yeah.
Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries definitely has to deal with the Phoebus Cartel.
The Phoebus Cartel, yeah. Well, the goal was so boring. It was to standardize the lifespan of incandescent light bulbs.
Why would they waste such a cool name?
It's so stupid. It reminds me of when I once did improv at a Best Western. Mm-hmm. And I was doing it for a conference. And the conference was a conference for people who work to rehabilitate sex offenders.
Yes.
And I was just like, this is the worst thing you could spend your whole day talking about. But I honestly think that might even be
worse.
Worse. Just talking about the lifespan of incandescent light bulbs.
It does feel so boring.
But so, yeah, eventually, the same engineers who were first tasked with extending the lifespan of the bulbs, like, they all worked together to be like, how long can we make it last? At some point, someone was like, how long can we make it not last? What do we do? Like, let's...
Gerard!
Yes, exactly. Like, how do we... Like, they were first tasked with extending it, and then somebody came along and was like, well, what if you wanted to reduce it? And they were like, well, you can, but do you want to do that? Isn't the point to make the light bulbs work? And they're like, we're going to try something new where we don't make the light bulbs work. And they were like, okay, I guess I'm not really the ideas man, so I'll give you this terrible light bulb. And that worked, and sales rose, and even though the Phoebus Cartel is not a thing anymore, that was, like, during World War II or something,
mm-hmm.
Those practices, like, started getting it out. Like, it's, like, the smallest thing. It starts with some guy being like, I have a bright idea, see? And now everything's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's how capitalism works. It's a snowball. A bad snowball. So this shit is, like, vintage.
Mm-hmm.
The little guy on the Monopoly box with the monocle has been up to it for decades.
Yeah.
This is who I imagine is, like, kind of running around
yeah.
at Apple.
Yes.
sort of like in Lizzie McGuire, how the little cartoon runs through all the real situations. Yeah. But it's the Monopoly guy just kind of running around like
running into offices.
Exactly. And we can see how this is in all cases, obviously, the natural expression of capitalism. I don't mean to be this way. I don't mean to be so Marxist all the time. It's not my fault.
Listen, capitalism is horrifying. We just have to accept that, especially late-stage capitalism, which we are in.
And it's like, if you don't think so, what's happening right now? Why don't you... Is it the gays? Is it the trans people? Because it's not. Because it's just not. Like, everyone's, like, grasping at straws. It's like, it's bathrooms. This is why everything's horrible. And it's like, no, it's capitalism. Yeah. It just is. Jesus Christ. So, yeah, it always starts by producing a good or a service that fulfills a need. And that's nice. Great. Fine.
Very helpful.
But once that need is fulfilled, that's not enough. And capitalism kind of demands there be an increase in revenue or demand or movement. And so what does it do? It manufactures a new need, or it warps the need that was there in the first place. And it starts to tell you how the need you thought that you fulfilled wasn't actually fulfilled at all, or that your neighbors, the Dinkelbergs, are like fulfilling that need in a much sexier way.
Yes.
And don't you want to fulfill that need in a sexier way? And you don't. Like, you don't need a sexier phone.
No.
You don't. And so I wish I could say this is a tale as old as time, but it really is just a tale as old as capitalism.
Yeah.
That's when this kind of stuff started. So what do we do about this, Sam? I'm asking.
We go back to a hunter-gatherer society.
That sounds awful.
I'm not volunteering to hunt or gather. I'm just saying.
I'll gather, I guess. I can gather.
You can gather?
I'll gather.
All right, can you gather for both of us?
What are you gonna do, hunt?
No.
No.
I'll continue to raise funds for charitable causes.
Nobody's gonna need that anymore, Sam, when we go back to the, you know, to the caveman times. There was a great article by Public Interest Research Groups that published an article outlining some ways to resist planned obsolescence.
Okay.
That was pretty interesting. I brought up a couple of interesting points. So they have a 6-point plan, Samantha. Take notes.
Okay.
So first is, let us fix our stuff by passing right to repair laws.
Ooh.
So some states have already passed laws to this end, but in a lot of places there is no legal limitation on making your product purposefully malfunction after a period of time with no recourse, which is fucking bananas to me.
So crazy.
Like, you can just be like, here's something that's broken. And that's fine. That's totally fine. So basically the idea is, like, okay, if you do that, if you want to sell me something that's going to get fucked up, there has to be a way for me to fix it.
Yeah.
Myself. That doesn't involve me buying anyone. Like, if you're going to do that, there has to be a way to fix it. Number two is give consumers the right to know if a product is fixable. So that's kind of like the 1A. Like, even if tech is fixable, even if there's an easy way to replace the battery or something, most people are at this point, like, so in the clutches of the effects of planned obsolescence that, like, the second something stops working, they're just like, well, I hate this. And they throw it out a window or they throw it in the ocean and it's just like, well, it's not working anymore. So it should be a company's responsibility to be like, okay, the truth is you can just replace the battery or you can just do this update and it'll work. Like, there has to be some kind of cooperation on the brand's part to, like, help you figure out how they actually work in a way that isn't, like, negligent.
Yeah.
So number three is stop software from handcuffing us to specific manufacturers. So we see this more and more. A good example of this is, like, cars.
Mm.
Like, you used to be able to take any car, and if part of it broke down, your repairman could just order a new car part. Like, oh, that's the left part.
Yes.
I don't know anything about cars.
That's the alternator.
Is that one?
I don't know.
What's an alternator, Sam? Tell me right now.
It alternates.
Sounds right to me. This is why, like, I cannot, and, like, I don't think that my husband knows all that much about cars either. So, like, you should see me. And I'm, like, I'm a pretty confident, independent woman. In the face of any car situation, I turn into a dumb idiot baby.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I set feminism back decades anytime I have to deal with anything car related, and I hate that about myself, but what are you gonna do?
One time my car broke down and I was by myself, and I had to Google how to open front of car because I forgot the word hood.
No, Sam.
Could not remember it in the moment.
Sam.
Was Googling, like, what is front of car called? How to open? Is engine okay?
One time, I was at, like, a full-service gas station, which we don't have a lot of. We don't have in Massachusetts, I don't think, at all. And in Rhode Island, there are some. And I pulled up to it on the wrong side of my car, like, where the gas nozzle wasn't. And the guy was just like, do you want me to go around? You got to do this over. And I'm like, oh, sorry, this isn't my car. Like, oh, I'm not used to this car. And it was my car. It's the car I drive every day. Ugh, fuck. But yeah, so good example of this car is, like, more and more, the more insular brands become, the more they're like, well, like, you have to buy that piece from us if you want to replace it. And it's $500. So, like, you might as well just buy a new one. Like, what the fuck? So they're like, stop doing that. That shouldn't be allowed. Number four, require removable batteries so tech isn't disposable. I didn't even think about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, some tech has like fixed batteries. So when the battery dies, the whole product is just garbage, which is wasteful from like a literal like physical standpoint, like a carbon standpoint. And then also like, you know, like just given a moment's thought, you're like, fuck off. Like I don't think about it. And I'm just like, oh, well, that's the way it works. And it's like, no, somebody chose for it to be that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's so annoying. But yeah, if you tell me something's broken, I'm gonna throw it in the trash. If you tell me to go get a new battery, I'll go get a new battery. So tell me to do that. It's not my fault that I'm dumb.
No, it's genuinely, it's not.
Because genuinely, it's not. If you're...
They're like, trying to keep you dumb.
And I think that's the thing that I get so sick of, is people being like, well, if you read all the forums and you did all the things, and it's like, life is so goddamn difficult already. Like, yeah, I could do all of that, but I'm fucking tired. Like, I just want... Is it too much to ask that people just tell the truth?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, is it really too much to ask? And it does feel like you just have to expect people to be lying to you, and that sucks. All right, create minimum service dates for access to repair and parts. So California actually does have a consumer warranty law. I think it's like 7 years. Like it requires like a legal warranty to provide repair for 7 years. And so companies selling have to stock those parts for at least 7 years. And then like what you were saying before, like you can't just like, you know, ignore it. And so the European Union is actually starting a directive that tries to make appliances be serviceable for 10 years, which is better. Mm-hmm. 10 years is better than 7. But like laptops, phones, and tablets, appliances, things that cost like hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, like they're trying to put rules in place so that there is a significant amount of time where they have to be serviceable.
That's awesome.
Which is cool.
That would be so great.
And now this is one that I really liked that I thought was really interesting. Protect repurposing older tech for new uses. So just because your phone or device isn't working for you anymore in its primary capacity, like, fine. Like, your old phone couldn't support Zoom and you need Zoom. So, like, you have to get a new phone, whatever. That doesn't mean it's not still, like, a powerful machine that can do something for you. So this is a quote pulled. Quote, we can repurpose products when a competitor or third party creates a reuse or modification tool, something that adds to or converts the old device such that it can still be used. However, these tools are often the subject of copyright lawsuits. When our phone is no longer able to update, why not use it as a baby monitor or a video doorbell? If we want companies to build these repurposing tools, governments need to make clear that they do not violate copyrights. With legal protections, old tech can live a new life.
Wow.
Isn't that so fucking, like, every piece of technology, it's like, well, it's a tiny little computer. It's doing my bidding because I tell it to. Like, yeah, like, I don't need to buy a whole new thing. Like, maybe I could repurpose it for something.
Yeah, I never even thought about that.
Never even thought about that. Same. So I think the main thing that horrified me about this topic is how little I think about this, right? My phone is my whole life. And when it stops working, I want to die. And when I'm told to get a new one, I get a new one. And that's that. Like, I don't question it at all. I don't consider like, hey, this phone cost $1,000. Why did it only work for 2 years? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't consider like, hey, can I fix it? Is this fixable? Like, can I make it better? Is there anything else I can use it for? Like, the people tell me it's time to upgrade, and I upgrade it, because mm-hmm. That's what you do, right? And that's that. And it's important to remind ourselves every now and again in this capitalist hellscape, like, hey, we don't need this. You know, like, we don't need the camera to be 25% sharper image quality. You know, like, we don't need emoji capabilities to be more advanced or lifelike. Like,
yes.
My needs for my phone tap out at, like, text and email and basic camera needs. And that, like, sort of bleeds into philosophy of everything else. Like, I don't need something new if I can repair the one that I have. And I think, like, you know, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. If you can get something secondhand, get it secondhand. And I do think that our generation is more focused on that. I think that started being like an old school idea.
Yeah.
Right. And then I think in the 80s, 90s, tech was just so exciting and you wanted to have the hot new thing. And now I think because people our age have no money, we're like, I guess the new thing sounds great. We can't afford it. Mm-hmm. We can't afford it every 3 years, you know, like we just can't. So I think I see a lot of people I know moving back towards reuse, moving back towards, like, I buy almost all my stuff secondhand. I am on all my, like, sort of Facebook and Instagram local swap groups and buy nothing groups, like reuse, resell kind of groups.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I feel like for millennials and Gen Z, that kind of thing is really having a resurgence. Yes. In a positive way, I think it's becoming trendy again to, like, do a thrift. And I mean,
yeah.
And then you get into, like, do we have to be hauling from the thrift store? Should we just be buying what we need? But still, like, I think it's positive steps that it's back kind of as, like, something kind of, like, smart and cool to do.
Yeah, and I'm curious if more focus on planned obsolescence might ignite more of, like, a push towards that energy entering the tech space.
Yeah.
Because the tech space, you know, I think it's just moved so goddamn fast. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just moved so fast. And it is, like, it was exciting. Like, it was so exciting. Like, when, and I remember it was really exciting for, like, my parents to watch because they got to see, like, the whole, like, they were using typewriters in college. And then they were watching, like, iPods come out. And, like, they, in their lifetime, went from, like, using a record player to having, like, an iPod Nano. Like, that's crazy. That's amazing. Like, that's, like, it's amazing. And it's an amazing aspect of human ingenuity. But it's got to have a limit.
Yeah.
And we're reaching our limit. And I feel like, you know, like, it's only been a couple of decades and we've already reached our fucking limit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't fully know how to fix this, but I do think it's important that we all know about it. Thank you again to Rin for telling me what it was. It's a thing I think we all know, but when it's got a fancy, scary word,
yeah,
it's going to help us actually realize what's going on and take a more active role in our lives.
No, totally. Thank you, Rin, and thank you, Allie. I think you're totally right. Like, it's easy to think about this like I just did, like, just being like, oh, it's like Apple. But it is. Like, it's so beyond, and it's so pervasive in, like, the whole world.
I think it's also good, even if it's not about, like, planned obsolescence specifically, even if it's about something, like, you know, that you need. I try to remind myself of that when I'm getting, like, if I need to get something on Amazon and it's like, I have this particular, like, I don't know, type of pencil sharpener from the Netherlands that's at my door in 24 hours. Mm. That's not great, actually. It's great and it's amazing in a way. And then in another way, in a more real way, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be able to do that. Mm-hmm. That happening is indicative of exploitation. There's no way that happens, at least yet. There's no way to make that happen in a way that everyone in that transaction is being treated ethically. There's
100%.
Just not. It shouldn't take that little time for me to get what I need. I should have to think ahead so I can buy ethically. You know, I think that I really struggle when it comes down to, like, you know, like, when it comes down to, like, well, no matter what I do, this is going to be the cheapest option because, you know, we don't have a lot of money and we want to make our money go as far as it can. Mm-hmm. And you got to sort of find a balance between your own personal responsibility, which I do think is important that you try to keep yourself honest and accountable and, like, I do try to buy ethically whatever I can buy ethically, but then also, I don't know. It's not all our goddamn responsibility. No, totally. Government's got to get a step in as well, because we're all just, like, trying to live.
Yeah, I'm glad
that sounds like a cop-out to end with, but, like...
No, I don't think so.
I think it's important that both things be addressed.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that there are, like, some efforts, like, in certain areas from governments to put a limit on that, and let's just hope that that continues yes. on, and then meanwhile we just can do what we as people can do, which is just, like, when we can, do the most ethical thing we can. It's very, this episode and last episode are very, like, The Good Place, if anyone watched.
Very much so.
One of my favorite TV series of all time. Yeah, it's just about, I think you're totally right, being mindful where we can be mindful and encouraging government to step in when they can step in.
So yeah, that's planned obsolescence. There we go.
I'm horrified.
I am horrified. Oh, geez.
Thank you for bringing it to the forefront,
no
Allie.
No problem. Happy to do it. Happy to be here. It's sort of... We can't do... After this and effective altruism and voluntourism, I'm just feeling so...
Feeling very, like, disillusioned with the world.
Yes, I'm feeling very disillusioned with the world, and I feel like I'm living in the Matrix.
Amen.
But not in an alt-right way.
No. Well, next week, we're going to get a little silly and pop culture again.
Thank God. So you guys can tune back in for that. We're going to talk more about, what is it? Vandersloot? What is it? What is his name?
Vanderpump Rules. How dare
no,
you?
No, what's the guy's name? Sandoval?
Sandoval.
Scandoval.
Scandoval.
That was my favorite. Oh, I love that episode. Go back and listen to it again. I will. But, all right, so next week we're going to have some pop culture from Sam, so tune in next Tuesday. Follow us on at I'm Horrified Pod on Twitter. Shoot us an email at imhorrifiedpodcast@gmail.com. And until next week, we hope you stay horrified.
Stay horrified! I'm Horrified is a Hemlock Creatives production, recorded and produced by us, Sam Bierstow and Allie Gavin, in Boston, Massachusetts. Our art is by Leah Brilliard and Allie Gavin. You can find us on Twitter at I'm Horrified Pod and at imhorrifiedpodcast.com. And you can tell us what horrifies you at imhorrifiedpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us directly on Patreon, you can get our podcast early and ad-free, as well as bonus episodes of our members-only minicasts, I'm Thrilled! Check us out at patreon.com/imhorrified. And if you liked hanging out with us, tell your friends, share us on your socials, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for stopping by, Horror Honeys.